Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We appreciate you so much. We love our community, and we want to be an exceptional church. We want to be a congregation that really is a lighthouse to the community. And want you to know, if you don't have a church home where you're attending regularly, we'd love for you to come give us a visit, and maybe, who knows, the Lord might have our paths across for a certain reason. I want to share with you, if I might, for a little while, out of the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 33. We'll look at them in just a little bit. We'll read these, and then we'll go back and we'll kind of look over them and see exactly what God's trying to say to us from this testimony about the life of Isaac. And I want you to see there are so many parallels between the Old Testament, and you see it's all trying to show us Jesus. And so there's so many parallels between the Old Testament and your life today that there are certainly no doubt there are things, there are lessons to be learned. There are things to be taken from the Old Testament that can impact your life, that can cause change for you, and can be a wonderful, wonderful account of what God has done, not only in their lives, but in our lives as well. So let's begin by reading our verses. We'll begin in verse 14, and we'll go through verse 33 of chapter 26 of Genesis. The Bible says, "For he had possessions of flocks." Now, it's speaking of Isaac, okay? "For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him." Now, the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. So if you're following me along, you'll see Isaac has been blessed. Isaac has multiplied greatly. As a matter of fact, the Philistines saw it, became jealous, went to all the wells that Abraham had dug that had actually been a part of why that Isaac had been blessed, because there was water there. Water was so important. And they filled them up. The end of verse 15 says, "And they filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.'" He's causing trouble. He's causing, him being so mighty was causing jealousy among the other people. And they were coming in and they were attempting to do bad things that was hurting all the people. So verse 17, "Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." Okay, verse 19. "Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So they called the name of the well Essek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also, so he called the name of it Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Verse 23, stick with me here. "Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night, and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, 'Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?' But they said, 'We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you.' So we said, 'Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now blessed of the Lord.' So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servant came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, 'We have found water.' So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day." Now Isaac dear friends, was the son of a famous father and the father of a famous son, being the son of Jacob, the son of Abraham and the father of Jacob, who later became Israel. 13 chapters in Genesis are devoted to telling the story of Abraham, and around 10 chapters to the story of Jacob. They are major characters in the plot. But Isaac's story is told in just 2. Chapter 24, which is the account of Abraham finding him a wife, Rebekah, and in this 26th chapter. Nevertheless, Isaac's life was by no means insignificant. He was the child that Abraham waited 100 years for, the child of promise. He was a miracle baby, conceived after Sarah had given up on all possibility of it still happening. Isaac was the one who carried on the line and the purposes of God. And on his deathbed, it was Isaac who laid hands upon Jacob, unwittingly though it was, and set apart the future of Israel. Even down to the present day, the Jews speak of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is listed among the champions of faith in Hebrews 11, where it is said, by faith he blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Isaac was the child of promise that Abraham had endured in faith for. But being the son of Abraham was not the key to his spiritual success. You see, he carried on the line of God's plan and was used by God to set apart the next generation. But being the father of Jacob was not the key to his spiritual success. Isaac himself lived a life of faith and carved out for himself the place God had predestined for him in history. We find 3 things in the life of Isaac which are symbolic of spiritual necessities for anyone who desires to live a spiritual life of faith. If you examine the life of any man or woman who is experiencing real spiritual victory, you'll discover these 3 characteristics. Our text has told us in verse 25 that Isaac built an altar there. He called upon the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent there, and his Isaac's servants dug a well. An altar, a tent, a well. The first thing that we see is Isaac built an altar. So he built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord. Listen, it was a time of great difficulty for Isaac. God had blessed him in the land of the Philistines where he was living, so that the Bible says that Isaac began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. The envious Philistines, watch this, filled in all his wells, and their king Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So he began moving from place to place, encountering opposition and conflict, until finally he came to Beersheba. I don't know just how low and anxious Isaac was feeling at this point, but the night he arrived in Beersheba, God appeared to him. And God spoke to him wonderful words of assurance and promise. He reiterated to Isaac the covenant he had made with his father Abraham. You see that? God reminded him. He said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." What was Isaac's response to the revelation of the Lord? I love his response, friends. Look, so he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. Now, an altar speaks of dedication. Isaac knew all about altars, didn't he? You recall the account of when Isaac was just a boy, how in obedience to God, Abraham took him up on Mount Moriah and laid him on an altar? On that occasion, the Lord was testing the dedication of Abraham. Would he be obedient, even to the point of sacrificing the son he'd waited 100 years for? And the answer the Lord received was a resounding yes. Abraham's heart was dedicated to God. And at the last possible moment, God stayed his hand with the knife. You remember? He said, "Stop, Abraham, for now I know that you fear me, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Friends, an altar speaks of dedication. Possibly no one knew the cost of full dedication more than Isaac. And so he built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Now, an altar is where you make your sacrifices to God, okay? The Apostle Paul implores us in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I read about a man by the name of Taylor Smith. A man greatly used by God. And he had a practice every morning before he would get out of bed. He would pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, this bed is the altar. My body is the sacrifice. I offer it afresh to you in total dedication. What about you this morning? Have you built an altar? Have you offered yourself as a sacrifice to God? Have you reaffirmed that dedication to the Lord recently in your life? It needs to be done often. The call of Romans 12:1 is for us to have lives characterized as living sacrifices to God. Maybe you need to do what Elijah did in 1 Kings 18. I thank everyone that supported us so much in our revival. We just had a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the community was so helpful and just so wonderful to us. We love you. We appreciate you so much. And Brother Billy Curl preached one time a Sunday morning on 1 Kings chapter 18 when the nation of Israel was living in idolatry, worshiping the Baals and the Asherah poles. Elijah challenged the false prophets to a contest on Mount Carmel to see which God was real. He called down fire from heaven and demonstrated the power of the only true and living God. But what did he do before he prayed for the fire to fall? It says that he rebuilt the altar of the Lord, the neglected altar, the broken down altar. Elijah took Israel back to the place where their dedication had been left behind, back to the altar, and he rebuilt it for the fire to fall. Now maybe you need to repair the broken altar in your life. Consecrate your heart to the Lord, and you will not regret it. An altar speaks of dedication. Also, notice Isaac pitched a tent. Isaac had heard the voice of the Lord in Beersheba. He'd met with God, and so he pitched his tent there. The people of God should always want to stay close to the presence and the direction of God. Let me repeat that. The people of God should always want to stay close to the presence and the direction of God. That's why you can't tell me that you're a Christian and never ever desire to darken the door of a church. I understand if you're a Christian and at times things keep you from able to assemble together with your brothers and sisters, but if you have no desire to go to hear God's Word, if you have no desire to want to be around God's people, friend, I'd be worried about calling myself a Christian. My Bible tells me that with newborn babes, we'll desire the milk of the Word. Friends, when a baby gets hungry, it's going to cry. It's going to let you know that it needs something to fill up its belly. And Christian, when you get hungry, when you get low, you're going to desire to have God's Word to infiltrate your heart. You're going to desire to have God's Word to begin to intermingle in your mind. And you're going to be thirsty and hungry for God. Be careful what you call yourself when the desire to be near God is not there. You'll notice, if God is speaking, that's where I want to be. And I hope you're the same way. But I want you to notice that Isaac pitched a tent. Now, why is that significant to me? Because he didn't build a house. He didn't build a house. You see, a tent speaks of detachment. The reason Isaac was in Beersheba was because this was where God was speaking. God had brought him here. But if God's presence should move, please listen, and lead him elsewhere, Isaac was ready to go. Here's another sign of his dedication. His house was not some geographical location where all his possessions were established. Isaac's home was wherever God and his will were to be found. A tent speaks of detachment. As Christians, we're pilgrims, okay? Passing through this world. In order to pass through, we must remain detached from this world and all that it holds dear. Our hearts belong to another kingdom. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose." Friend, no matter how hard you try, you cannot ultimately retain the things of this life. They're passing away. The moths are eating at them. Time and rust are corroding them. There's no future in earthly stuff. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." We must be detached from this world's pleasure. We must be detached from this world's praise. It's a bad sign when this world praises us. You know that? It's a bad sign when the world goes to bragging on you. It's even worse if we start desiring this world's praise. Church, Christian, friend, don't desire the praises of this world. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." Verse 17 says, "The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." A tent speaks of detachment. Not only that, Isaac dug a well. There Isaac's servants dug a well. A well speaks of dependence. Dependence. The Bible describes a person who reads and meditates upon the Word of God as, Psalm 1:3, how many of you could say that with me? "A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." For Isaac, it was a matter of life and death. I guess you could say this. I grew up in Letcher County, Kentucky, and we got a little different way of saying things at times. I guess you could probably say it was a matter of digging or dying. You was either going to dig or die. And he had to have water. In that Middle Eastern land, he had to have lots of it. Isaac dug wells wherever he went. Now, this just wasn't a habit for him. This is something he had to do in order to establish life. The same is true concerning God's Word in our lives. Listen to me. Without it, we will die spiritually. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." For the child of God, for my life or your life, it's dig or die. We can't live without the Word of God. We're dependent on it. Isaac built an altar. Isaac pitched a tent. Isaac dug a well. Are these characteristics present in your life today? Have you built an altar? Are you maintaining that altar? Daily renewing your dedication to the Lord? Consecrating your heart to Him alone? Have you pitched a tent? In your heart of hearts, are you detached from the things of this world? Have you dug a well? Are you dependent upon the Word of God as your source? Are you continuing to dig for the water of life? Now, I want to ask you these things because in order to say this. God cares for you. And it may have been a long time since you felt that anybody cared for you. It may have been a long time since you felt that the world remembered who you were, that anybody even, it mattered whether you lived or died. Well, friend, it matters very much to someone much greater than this world. And if the world does forget you, you've lost very little, to be honest. If God were to forget you, you would lose it all. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, friend, listen to me. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I just want you to think about these things for just a moment. Will you enable yourself, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, just take a moment here. Find you a little peace. Maybe you're where you can close your eyes for just a moment. Maybe you're where you can just seek God in your heart for just a minute. And just say to yourself this, God, I want to have a life closer to You. Father, I want to have an altar. I want to rebuild it. I want to bring back the things that have been broken down. Father, I desire to stay detached from the things of this world. I don't want to walk hand in hand with the world anymore. I want to stride arm in arm with my Jesus. Maybe you need to dig a well. Maybe we need to get a little depth in our lives. Maybe we've been living this Christian life, but we've been living it in a very shallow way. We've not really scratched the surface of all the promises that God has given us.
We've not really entered into that promise that God has given us, that He's going to give us a life of abundance. This morning can be the change that takes place in your life. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, I just pray that You might be with that man that's listening right now, with that woman, Father, that's had her heart touched. I pray, dear God, that You might energize them, You might refresh them, that You might show them, dear Father, that the power of the Holy Spirit goes beyond the power of man, and that through Jesus Christ alone, we can find life. Father, thank You for the promises of the Bible. Remind us again and again, refresh it in our memories, how true they are. They've been true throughout the ages, and they stand true today. Father, place our feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we ask these things. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.